from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We are joined now on the line by Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Nick, very gracious to join us on these Tuesdays. And I tell you what, Nick, this will be what I appreciate you hanging in there with me these last 5 weeks without my co-host, John Martin, who I don't know if you're aware, he's using all legal 6 weeks of paternity leave for the man. I don't think there are many American men who use all of it. And John is maximizing what he has legally, and we've loved him doing so. But you've only been getting questions from the one side for the last 5 weeks, so I appreciate you bearing with me. Listen, you're a man that's well-traveled, been across this nation back and forth, and especially across the NBA. You ever run into Bill Walton on any of those travels? Certainly was sad news for us all over the weekend.
I would see him at games occasionally, and it was always an experience because I never really got to talk to him that much. And I say that because anywhere Bill went, it's like the Pied Piper.
No doubt. Well,
everybody wanted a couple like minutes, and he would talk for, 10 about
anything. Didn't talk
anything.
For 10. We wanted to. That's right.
The thing that always cracks me up, though, is that you've got all of these heartfelt tributes that have poured out on Twitter and all these social media platforms over the last 24 hours. And it is hilarious the amount of times that you say, yeah, I asked Bill this one question and he talked for 16 minutes. That was my experience in just watching him from a distance sometimes at these games. But it was always a respect there. And that's what I appreciated. I mean, he loved the game. He loved talking about the game, but he loved people and he loved learning about stuff, and that is quite the legacy on top of what he accomplished on the floor.
Well, our local columnist Jeff Calkins, just real quick on Bill, I thought did a great job in sort of summing up. We should hate him here in Memphis for what he did to us in 73 and to that Memphis State team, going 21-22 from the field, 44 points in that national championship game. And I mean, that game was tied. Nobody believed Memphis State had a chance in that one. That game was tied at halftime. I think even Memphis had a quick lead there in the second half. And we should hate him because, of course, he kept us away from, and Memphis has never won a championship, been close a couple times, as close as they ever gotten. But at the end of that game, there's a picture, and it says it's really, I mean, Bill struggled through injury throughout the rest of his career. But Larry Finch, who was beloved here, had led that team with Gene Bartow as the coach to that game, is seen like helping Bill Walton off the floor in that game after he'd gone 21-22 and absolutely murdered your chances of winning a national championship. Larry's helping him off. And so that it's all, one of our Memphis boosters put it, if Larry didn't hate him, we couldn't either. And so I'm sure there's a tie like that with Bill Walton in every town, but to Memphis and that chance we had in 73, he took it away from us, and you still can't hate on him for it. I mean, he was just he's a positive soul, man. And even in that performance, Larry Finch showed the kind of man he was, helping him off the floor.
I think that is really, really interesting, and I think it's a great way to put it, because the thing that you learned about Bill Walton through the years, and certainly, I remember talking to Dave Pasch about this, his broadcast partner on ESPN, yep, just a few months ago. He said, it's positivity.
Right.
And that is missing in a lot of society. I mean, let's be real. People don't find the positives in a lot of stuff that's going on. And for Bill to have that kind of impact on so many different people. I mean, you and I have watched all of these different things play out with teams and athletes through the years, and you know, you ask somebody for a picture or an autograph, and plenty of guys are like, nah, I'm good.
Yep.
You know, especially now. It's not what it once was, maybe 15, 20 years ago, but Bill Walton was that guy that would stop and talk and take a picture and tell a story. And he was just I've seen it so many times reading all these tributes, but it was a one of one, and personality-wise, the game is going to miss him dearly.
No question about it. So well put there on Bill. All right, Eastern Conference Finals are over. Celtics sweep.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know. Tatum, what was it, 30-10-6 in terms of what he averaged this series. But we see Jaylen Brown get the Larry Bird Eastern Conference Finals MVP trophy. They give it to the right guy?
I probably would have leaned Tatum just because the numbers were there. And that vote was like, what, 5-4?
Yep.
So, you know, you could have gone either direction. Jaylen Brown certainly had some really, really good performances and carried them at times. But if we were putting money down right now, not only do I think Boston ends up winning the title, but I think that little slight is going to piss Tatum off so much.
So we had Brown mad at the All NBA slight, yeah, right at Halliburton, yeah, and now Tatum, I got you, motivated, chip on the shoulder by this. I like it. I like the narrative.
Absolutely. If you were running to the window, yeah, I would say, okay, Tatum and the Celtics, because all of these guys are so competitive, and it did seem like everybody was happy for Jaylen Brown, and great, you know, they earned it, he earned it, he played really, really well. But Jason Tatum has always carried himself as the face, certainly, of that team, and he wants to be one of the faces, future faces of the league. And the Celtics keep getting to this point, and they get to the finals, or they get last year to the Eastern Conference Finals,
yep,
and they just can't get over the hump. What has to happen for it to happen? Your star player has to carry everybody else and take them across the finish line. So I you could have gone either way. I probably would have gone Tatum, but I certainly would go Tatum now in this series coming up.
Well put, because I think you're absolutely right about the motivation. I even almost felt like I sensed it in the interviews afterwards when he was being, and Jaylen Brown had gotten MVP, although maybe that's just me picking up on it. I must say that at one point we're asking the question, or at least we were here in Memphis, you know, you pulled Marcus Smart away from that team, and we've discussed this a little bit, what's it going to mean for leadership and everything else? Man, between Drew Holiday and what they're getting from Derek White, and then, oh, by the way, I mean, at some point they're going to pour Kristaps Porzingis on top of this. The way I put it with Brad, like, that void that I thought would be there with Marcus Smart gone, it feels like Drew and Derek had filled that thing up and have got more growing out of it. And then when you put Porzingis on top, that this is clearly, to your point, they've reached this level before, come up short. Bro, I don't think with Drew's championship pedigree, the way Derek White's become this two-way player that can defend 100% on one end, but then give you all this efficiency he's doing on the other end offensively, I just think that this is a better Celtics team that has been at this point in previous seasons.
I think you are spot on, and I would also add to it by saying this. If the Celtics don't win it now, this year, and finally do it, I don't know when it's going to happen.
I'm with you.
And when you get a team that is as talented as this group is and has star players, especially like Tatum, who's certainly coming into his own and wants to be viewed,
yep,
in that top tier, you have to win titles. They have gotten close, but they have found ways not to make it happen. They have all the pieces in place. And to the point that you outlined about the roster reconstruction, mm-hmm, I thought losing Marcus Smart was going to really, really hurt them because of the emotional,
exactly,
impact that he has had on that team. And it hasn't up to this point. If ever there was a time, if they do win this thing in the next few weeks, to go back and say, hey, a front office made the difference in getting a team from point A to point B.
Yep.
Brad Stevens and that Celtics group deserve a ton of credit if they can cross this line, because they saw that this team just couldn't do it. They made the changes in the off season to make it happen. And you're right. You throw Porzingis on there. Oh. He was supposed to be one of the difference makers that was going to change things in the postseason. Well, now will be his time to shine against very likely the Mavericks and Kyrie. So it's going to be really intriguing to see how the Celtics handle this particular finals after what they've been through over the last few years. But I just think all the pieces are in place, yep, because if it doesn't happen now, I don't think it's going to happen for this iteration of the group.
You know, and I want to get to the Western Conference finals here, but I was just thinking about it as you were laying it out. I guess the guy I would be happiest for, because I'm with you, there's no excuse, they have to win it, but that we haven't mentioned, because he's earned it, man, with the way he's carried himself, with how much of a contributor he still has, about to be 38 in June, like Al Horford, who hit, yes, 7 threes in, what, game 3, and is still contributing at a time where they're shorthanded. Oh, we need you at 37 to play more minutes with Kristaps out. Nobody has earned a ring just at this point. And what is it? He's like most playoff games without one at this point, isn't he? I'd be so happy for Al Horford if they do come through and win.
It feels a lot like, yeah, I mean, it feels a lot like to me, like Phil Mickelson back in time.
Yeah.
You thought, is this guy ever going to, yep, to get over that hump and cross the bridge? I mean, Al Horford, for what he's been relied upon to do at this stage,
no doubt,
been unbelievable. And I also give him credit for this. I mean, he bounced around plenty. I mean, he started in Atlanta, but then he was in a few different places. But he found his way back to Boston, and he really seems invested in making it happen.
Oh, yeah.
And the loyalty aspect of that is not something we talk about in pro sports, especially in the NBA anymore. But I give him this because he could have certainly changed again and gone somewhere else, and he stuck with the Celtics. He thinks they can do it. They're right on the verge of doing it again, but it would be a nice story to see him not only stay with the team and win, but be able to give what he's giving at this stage of his career.
Couldn't agree more. We're talking with Nick Friedell here on the show, Insider Calls, brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. Boy, it seems like Anthony Edwards really learned a valuable lesson. Anthony Edwards, who I had crowned, by the way, and prematurely, how in the world is this guy doing this at 22? It's all coming together. He just gets it. Just put the defending champs to sleep. Looks like calling out Kyrie after Game 7 in Denver wasn't exactly a great idea. Kyrie, who wasn't all that great against OKC, he's certainly awake now.
That was not the move to make.
No.
That was not the move to make. For all this, the drama that Kyrie has created off the floor, what people, I think, forgot in the midst of everything that's occurred in the last few years is Kyrie is still an incredible player when he turns it on. And all he needs, like all great competitors, is a slight sometimes. And in that regard, I mean, that just wasn't something I would have said if I were Ant Edwards, but it's part of the learning process.
You
know, everybody was ready. You were not alone. Everybody was ready to say, hey, this is the face. This is the guy. This is in so many ways, and we've been talking about it the last few weeks, but Anthony Edwards has kind of stepped into the role that Ja Morant had been in. Like, hey,
yep,
this guy, he can be that next future face of the NBA for a long time. And he gets to this stage in the Western Conference Finals, and the wheels have just fallen off. Now, I don't think it is all Edwards and his defense and the issues that he's had at times offensively. I think the guy who deserves a ton of blame, and certainly Rudy Gobert has gotten plenty of it, starting with Draymond as an analyst, but guy who I go back to is Karl Anthony Towns.
No doubt.
He was a huge difference maker against the Nuggets in that series in the second round. And he had started to change the narrative about his career, because everybody was always like, this guy. I mean, I've watched it for years in Minnesota. He can't be there when you need him the most. In this series, in the biggest moment, he has completely disappeared. So there are a lot of reasons why Minnesota's in the spot they're in. And there are a lot of lessons, certainly, that Ant Edwards will take from what he said and not done on the floor moving forward. It'll be good for him. But if you're looking for somebody to blame as to why the Timberwolves are in the spot they're in, you needed Towns to show up again, and he didn't.
Couldn't agree more with you. Dallas, to your point, too, Kyrie, Luka, all phenomenal. Kids obviously done a good job getting them to buy in defensively. But to the point you made about the Celtics in terms of what the front office has done, I mean, I've had to come around on this, Nick. You and you've talked about it too. Me and you both riding on wrong street because we had the Clippers beating them. But going out and making that move at the trade deadline where you go get PJ and you go get Daniel Gafford and what it did for you defensively. Like, I think it was eighth the rest of the way in terms of best defense in the league, and for stretches was one of the top defenses. You know, it's that part, Nick, that I've had to come around on most. I didn't think a Luka Kyrie team would be able to defend the way this team is defending. To have Anthony Edwards this frustrated. They did the same thing where they're just not going to give anything to Shea at the basket. Like, they decided we're going to make it, you know, sticky. What they've done there defensively, and to your point about the Celtics, I think it applies here too. That front office, that trade deadline, those moves, really a big part of why they're here too.
Jason, I think it's a great parallel. Yep. And I would add this component of it, especially in the context of the Kyrie and Luka discussion. Mm-hmm. Everybody had written them off after they were tanking their way out of the play-in last year.
I was one of them. Yep.
It was like, yep. You know, this is not going to work. They don't have enough, and the chemistry isn't there. It's not only do Nico Harrison and the rest of that Dallas front office deserve credit for the moves that you just described there, because like you get the right pieces in near the deadline, it can make a difference. But I think it's another reminder – especially in the NBA, just because something doesn't work instantly doesn't mean it won't work down the line. And we're not used to seeing two star guards pair up like Luka and Kyrie, and especially with all the issues that he had at the end of that Brooklyn tenure, there were plenty of people that were like, it's just not going to happen. I think this shows that if you add the right pieces around great top-tier talent, it still can happen, and Dallas is a case study of have a little patience, make the right front office moves, and grow around a top-tier star in Luka Doncic, and that's where you get yourself one game away from the finals. And, you know, they're playing like a team that absolutely believes that they're going to go into Boston and win it. We're going to see. I still think the Celtics have the upper hand, but Dallas – is one of those moments in time in the league where you go, it can all shake out the way you want it if you have the right structure in place to begin with.
And then let me ask something, Nick, before I get you out of here. Just as an old Bulls fan that walks around with a bag on his head all the time now because there's just not much to talk about, not much pride anymore. Where would you begin to start? I was reading this off-season thing on ESPN that says, oh, Bulls should go get, you know, Chris Paul or whatever, and that doesn't even begin to fix the mess that has been the Chicago Bulls the last season. And just in terms of things they've got to do, Nick, and you haven't spent as much time up there as you had and so familiar with that situation, what's first on your list? What's got for them to get back in any real way? You know, is it blow it all up? You know, come back with this guy and build around him? Just how do you get Chicago back?
If it were me, the first move I would make would be to fire Karnisovas and Eversley, and I would throw an absolute ton of money at Bob Myers and see
if he would come back and start basically
from scratch and set the structure in place for an organization. As a longtime Bulls fan, you know that there are a lot of problems. And
too many.
Anybody who has followed them for years, this goes back to the Jordan years, it always starts at the top. It's on the Reinsdorfs. Jerry's son Michael is now running much more of the day-to-day in Chicago, but this team has made poor decision after poor decision, especially after the divorce from Tom Thibodeau and Garm Pax. But if it's me, having seen what's happened the last few years, you start – if you can't start at the top and there's not going to be an ownership change and that won't happen, you – then go get your president of basketball operations, and you let that person, whoever he or she may be, run the show and start from scratch.
Start it over.
For me, it would be Bob Myers, who had all the success with the Warriors, and you put the drafts in place from there, and you get off the LaVine contract, no matter what it takes, and then you start as fresh as possible. But it is a mess, and knowing so many old Bulls fans in a way that I do for so many years. It's not a one or two step process. They've got so many bad contracts and they're so far away from even a possible East contention that it's sad to think how long it will take. But if I've learned anything covering the league, if you get the right personnel in place to make the picks and make the cap selections and recruit the players, you're going a long way. And I think that's the first move to get them back to where they need to be.
I absolutely love it. I love the going after Bob Myers idea. They should throw everything at it. And because you're right, you have to get a clean slate. You have to wipe this mess clean before you can truly fix it again. Nick, you know your stuff, man. Appreciate you so much and you joining us on these Tuesdays, brother. Thank you. Have a great week.
Always good to be with you, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. He is Nick Friedell, Odyssey NBA Insider. Insider calls, of course, brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It is indeed equipped for adventure.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.